The Gospel of Nicodemus, formerly known as the Acts of Pilate, Mr. James Translation, 1924. Memorials of Our Lord Jesus Christ, done in the time of Pontius Pilate. Prologue. I, Ananus, protector of the Praetorian Guard, a man learned in the law, came to recognize our Lord Jesus Christ through the divine scriptures. Drawn to him by faith, I was deemed worthy of holy baptism. Driven by a desire to preserve the truth, I sought out the memorials that were made during that momentous time of our Master Jesus Christ, which the Jews had deposited with Pontius Pilate. I discovered these memorials written in Hebrew, and by the grace of God, I translated them into Greek, so that all who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be informed. This translation was completed in the reign of our Lord Flavius Theodosius, in the 17th year, and Flavius Valentinus I, in the 19th Indictaeon. Therefore, all ye who read this and copy it into other books, remember me and pray for me, that God will be gracious unto me and have mercy upon my sins which I have committed against him. Peace be to those who read and hear these things, and to their servants. Amen. This took place in the 15th year of the governance of Tiberius Caesar, Emperor of the Romans, and of Herod, King of Galilee, in the 19th year of his rule, on the 8th of the calends of April, which is the 25th of March, in the consulate of Rufus and Rebellio, in the 4th year of the 202nd Olympiad. Joseph, also known as Caiaphas, held the office of High Priest of the Jews. These are the things which Nicodemus recorded and delivered unto the High Priest and the rest of the Jews after the cross and passion of the Lord. And the same Nicodemus set them forth in Hebrew, one for the chief priests and scribes assembled in council, even Annas and Caiaphas and Sumna and Aam and Galilee, Judas, Levi and Nephilim, Alexander and Cyrus, and the rest of the Jews. They came unto Pilate, accusing Jesus of many deeds, saying, "We know this man. He is the son of Joseph, the carpenter, begotten of Mary. Yet he claims to be the son of God and a king. Moreover, he pollutes the Sabbaths and seeks to destroy the law of our fathers." Pilate inquired, "And what things are they that he does and would destroy the law?" The Jews replied, "We have a law that he should not heal any man on the Sabbath. But this man, through his evil deeds, has healed the lame and the bent, the withered and the blind, the paralytic, the sick, the dumb, and those who were possessed on the Sabbath day." Pilate pressed, "By what evil deeds does he do these things?" They exclaimed, "He is a sorcerer. By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils, and they are all subject unto him." Pilate countered, "This is not to cast out devils by an unclean spirit, but by the power of God." Exasperated, the Jews said to Pilate, "We beseech thy majesty that he appear before thy judgment seat and be heard." Pilate summoned them and said, "Tell me, how can I, a governor, examine a king?" They retorted, "We do not say that he is a king, but he saith it of himself." Pilate then called a messenger and instructed him, "Let Jesus be brought hither, but with gentleness." The messenger departed, and upon seeing Jesus, he was overcome. He worshipped him, took the kerchief from his hand, spread it upon the earth, and implored, "Lord, walk hereon and enter, for the governor calls thee." The Jews, witnessing this act, cried out against Pilate, demanding, "Wherefore didst thou not summon him by an herald to enter? Why send a mere messenger?" The messenger, when he saw him, worshipped him and spread out his kerchief upon the ground, making him walk upon it like a king. Pilate summoned the messenger and demanded, "Wherefore hast thou done this? Why spread thy kerchief upon the ground and make Jesus walk upon it?" The messenger explained, "Lord governor, when you sent me to Jerusalem, near Alexander's residence, I saw Jesus riding upon an ass. The children of the Hebrews held branches in their hands and cried out joyfully. Others spread their garments beneath him, proclaiming, 'Save now, thou that art in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" The Jews, incensed, shouted at the messenger, "The children of the Hebrews cried out in Hebrew. How then do you recount it in Greek?" The messenger clarified, "I asked one of the Jews, inquiring what it was they cried out in Hebrew, and he interpreted it unto me." Pilate pressed them, "And how did they cry out in Hebrew?" The Jews responded, "Hosanna mi Adoni." Pilate then inquired, and Hosanna, and the rest. How is it interpreted? The Jews reluctantly conceded, Save now, thou that art in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Pilate, seizing the opportunity, declared, If you yourselves bear witness to the words which were said by the children, wherein has the messenger sinned? They fell silent, unable to refute the truth. The governor then instructed the messenger, Go forth and bring him in after what manner thou wilt. The messenger went forth and did as before, entreating Jesus, Lord, enter in, the governor calls thee. As Jesus entered, the ensigns were holding the standards, and miraculously, the images of the standards bowed and did reverence to Jesus. The Jews, witnessing this, cried out vehemently against the ensigns. Pilate, seeking to reason with them, said, Marvel ye not that the images bowed themselves and did reverence unto Jesus? The Jews countered, We saw how the ensigns made them bow and did reverence to him. The governor summoned the ensigns and questioned, Wherefore did you do so? They replied, We are Greeks and servants of the temples. How could we do him reverence? Indeed, whilst we held the images, they bowed of themselves and did reverence unto him. Then Pilate addressed the rulers of the synagogue and the elders of the people. Choose you out able and strong men, and let them hold the standards. Let us see if they bow of themselves. The elders of the Jews selected 12 men, strong and able, and made them hold the standards, 6 on each side. They were positioned before the judgment seat of the governor. Pilate instructed the messenger, Take him out of the judgment hall and bring him in again after what manner thou wilt. Jesus, accompanied by the messenger, exited the judgment hall. Pilate then summoned those who had previously held the images and said, I have sworn by the safety of Caesar that if the standards bow not when Jesus enters, I will cut off your heads. The governor commanded Jesus to enter a second time. The messenger, repeating his earlier actions, besought Jesus to walk upon his kerchief, and Jesus complied. As he entered, the standards bowed themselves once more and did reverence unto Jesus. Chapter 2. Now, when Pilate witnessed this, he was filled with fear and sought to rise up from the judgment seat. As he attempted to rise, his wife sent a message, pleading, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things because of him in a dream. Pilate gathered all the Jews and addressed them, Ye know that my wife fears God and favors the customs of the Jews with you. They confirmed, Yeah, we know it. Pilate continued, Lo, my wife hath sent unto me, saying, Have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things because of him in a dream. But the Jews, unmoved, retorted, Said we not unto thee that he is a sorcerer? Behold, he hath sent a vision of a dream unto thy wife. Pilate summoned Jesus and questioned him, What is it that these witness against thee? Speakest thou nothing? Jesus calmly replied, If they had not power, they would have spoken nothing. For every man hath power over his own mouth to speak good or evil. Let them see to it. The elders of the Jews answered, What shall we see? Firstly, that thou wast born of fornication. Secondly, that thy birth in Bethlehem was the cause of the slaying of children. Thirdly, that thy father Joseph and thy mother Mary fled into Egypt because they had no confidence before the people. At this point, certain devout men of the Jews who stood nearby interjected. We say not that he came of fornication, but we know that Joseph was betrothed unto Mary, and he was not born of fornication. Pilate turned to those Jews who alleged that Jesus was born of fornication and said, This your saying is not true, for there were espousals, as these also say, which are of your nation. Annas and Caiaphas protested to Pilate, The whole multitude of us cries out that he was born of fornication, and we are not believed. But these are proselytes and disciples of his. Pilate inquired of Annas and Caiaphas, What be proselytes? They explained, They were born children of Greeks, and now they have become Jews. Then those who maintained that Jesus was not born of fornication, including Lazarus, Asterius, Antonius, Jacob, Amnes, Zenas, Samuel, Isaac, Phinehas, Crispus, Agrippa, and Judas, declared, We were not born proselytes, but we are children of Jews and we speak the truth. For verily, we were present at the espousals of Joseph and Mary. Pilate summoned the 12 men who testified that Jesus was not born of fornication and said, I adjure you by the safety of Caesar, are these things true which ye have said, that he was not born of fornication? They responded, We have a law that we swear not because it is a sin. But let them swear by the safety of Caesar that it is not as we have said, and we will be guilty of death. Pilate addressed Annas and Caiaphas. Answer ye nothing to these things? Annas and Caiaphas retorted, These 12 men are believed who say that he was not born of fornication, but the whole multitude of us cries out that he was born of fornication and is a sorcerer, and saith that he is the Son of God and a king, and we are not believed. Pilate then commanded the entire multitude to depart, save for the 12 men who asserted that Jesus was not born of fornication. Turning to them, Pilate inquired, For what cause do they desire to put him to death? They answered, They are jealous because he healeth on the Sabbath day. Pilate questioned, For a good work do they desire to put him to death? They affirmed, Yeah. Chapter 3. And Pilate, filled with indignation, stepped outside the judgment hall and proclaimed to the crowd, I call the Son to witness that I find no fault in this man. The Jews retorted, If this man were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Pilate challenged, Take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews responded, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Pilate questioned, Hath God forbidden you to slay, and allowed me? Pilate re-entered the judgment hall, summoned Jesus, and inquired privately, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus responded, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate countered, Am I also a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. For if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have striven that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate pressed, Art thou a king then? Jesus affirmed, Thou sayest that I am a king. For this cause was I born, and am come that everyone that is of the truth should hear my voice. Pilate inquired, What is truth? Jesus responded, Truth is of heaven. Pilate pressed, Is there not truth upon earth? Jesus replied, Thou sayest how that they which speak the truth are judged of them that have authority upon earth. Chapter 4. Pilate left Jesus in the judgment hall and went forth to the Jews, declaring, I find no fault in him. The Jews accused. This man said, I am able to destroy this temple and in 3 days to build it up. Pilate inquired, What temple? The Jews clarified, That which Solomon built in 46 years, but which this man saith he will destroy and build in 3 days. Pilate, growing weary of their accusations, declared, I am guiltless of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. The Jews, in a chilling response, proclaimed, His blood be upon us and on our children. Pilate then summoned the elders, priests, and Levites and confided in them secretly, urging, Do not so, for there is nothing worthy of death whereof ye have accused him. For your accusation is concerning healing and profaning of the Sabbath. The elders, priests, and Levites countered, If a man blaspheme against Caesar, is he worthy of death or no? Pilate conceded, He is worthy of death. The Jews seized on this, declaring, If a man be worthy of death if he blaspheme against Caesar, this man hath blasphemed against God. The governor, exasperated, commanded all the Jews to leave the judgment hall. He called Jesus to him and inquired, What shall I do with thee? Jesus responded, Do as it hath been given thee. Pilate asked, How hath it been given? Jesus explained, Moses and the prophets did foretell concerning my death and rising again. The Jews, overhearing this exchange, said to Pilate, What needest thou to hear further of this blasphemy? Pilate, losing patience, said, If this word be of blasphemy, take ye him for his blasphemy and bring him into your synagogue and judge him according to your law. The Jews retorted, It is contained in our law that if a man sin against a man, he is worthy to receive 40 stripes save one. But he that blasphemeth against God, that he should be stoned with stoning. Pilate challenged, Take ye him and avenge yourselves of him in what manner ye will. The Jews, resolute in their malice, declared, We will that he be crucified. Pilate, dismayed, responded, He deserveth not to be crucified. As the governor looked upon the multitude of the Jews, he noticed many weeping and realized that not all desired his death. He questioned, Do not all the multitude desire that he should be put to death? The elders of the Jews, unmoved by compassion, declared, To this end the whole multitude has come hither, that he should be put to death. Pilate pressed, Wherefore should he die? The Jews offered their final accusation, because he called himself the Son of God and a king. Chapter 5. But a certain man, Nicodemus, a Jew of high standing, came and stood before the governor. He implored, I beseech thee, good Lord, bid me speak a few words. Pilate granted his request. Say on, Nicodemus. Nicodemus addressed the elders, priests, Levites, and the entire multitude of the Jews in the synagogue. Wherefore contend ye with this man? This man doeth many and wonderful signs which no man hath done, neither will do. Let him alone, and contrive not any evil against him. If the signs which he doeth are of God, they will stand, but if they be of men, they will come to naught. For verily Moses, when he was sent of God into Egypt, did many signs which God commanded him to do before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And there were there certain men, servants of Pharaoh, Jannes and Jambres, and they also did signs, not a few of them which Moses did, and the Egyptians held them as gods, even Jannes and Jambres. And whereas the signs which they did were not of God, they perished, and those also that believed on them. And now let this man go, for he is not worthy of death. The Jews, incensed by his defense, accused Nicodemus. Thou art become his disciple, and thou speakest on his behalf. Nicodemus retorted, Is the governor also become his disciple, that he speaketh on his behalf? Did not Caesar appoint him unto this dignity? The Jews, enraged, gnashed their teeth at Nicodemus. Pilate, witnessing their fury, intervened. Wherefore gnash ye your teeth against him, wherein ye have heard the truth? The Jews cursed Nicodemus. Mayest thou receive his truth and his portion? Nicodemus, unwavering in his conviction, responded, Amen, amen. May I receive it as ye have said. Chapter 6. Now one of the Jews stepped forward and sought permission from the governor to speak. Pilate granted his request. If thou wilt say aught, speak on. The Jew recounted, For 38 years, I lay on a bed in suffering of pains. At the coming of Jesus, many that were possessed and laid with divers diseases were healed by him. Certain young men, moved by compassion, took pity on me and carried me with my bed and brought me unto him. When Jesus saw me, he had compassion and spake a word unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. And I took up my bed and walked. The Jews, ever seeking to condemn, said to Pilate, Ask of him what day it was whereon he was healed. The man who was healed testified, On the Sabbath. The Jews seized upon this, declaring, Did we not inform thee so, that upon the Sabbath he healeth and casteth out devils? Another Jew came forward and testified, I was born blind. I heard words, but I saw no man's face. As Jesus passed by, I cried with a loud voice, Have mercy on me, O Son of David. And he took pity on me and put his hands upon mine eyes, and I received sight immediately. Another Jew added, I was bowed, and he made me straight with a word. Still another said, I was a leper, and he healed me with a word. Chapter 7. And a certain woman named Bernice, crying out from afar, testified, I had an issue of blood and touched the hem of his garment, and the flowing of my blood was stayed, which I had suffered for 12 years. The Jews, determined to discredit her, declared, We have a law that a woman shall not come to give testimony. Chapter 8. And certain others, a multitude both of men and women, cried out, proclaiming, This man is a prophet, and the devils are subject unto him. Pilate, intrigued, questioned those who claimed that the devils were subject to Jesus. Wherefore were not your teachers also subject unto him? They admitted, We know not. Others added, He raised up Lazarus, which was dead, out of his tomb after 4 days. The governor, increasingly disturbed, addressed the multitude, Wherefore will ye shed innocent blood? Chapter 9. He summoned Nicodemus and the 12 men who testified that Jesus was not born of fornication and inquired, What shall I do, for there ariseth sedition among the people? They confessed, We know not, let them see to it. Pilate, in a final attempt to appease the crowd, called for all the Jews and pleaded, Ye know that you have a custom that at the feast of unleavened bread I should release unto you a prisoner. Now they had a prisoner under condemnation in the prison, a notorious murderer named Barabbas. And standing before them was Jesus, the one they called the Christ, the one in whom Pilate found no fault. Pilate, seeking to appease the crowd, inquired, Whom do you wish that I release to you, Barabbas, the condemned murderer, or Jesus, who is called the Christ? But the crowd, stirred up by the chief priests and elders, cried out, Barabbas! Pilate, perplexed by their choice, pressed further, What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? The Jews, unified in their demand, roared, Let him be crucified. However, some of the Jews, perhaps recognizing the gravity of their decision or attempting to dissuade the others, countered, Thou art no friend of Caesar if thou let this man go, for he calls himself the Son of God and a king. If you release him, you will have him as a king and not Caesar. Pilate, now increasingly agitated, retorted, Your nation is always seditious and rebels against your benefactors. The Jews challenged him, Against what benefactors? Pilate, recalling their history, reminded them, According to what I have heard, your God brought you out of Egypt, out of hard bondage, and led you safely through the sea as by dry land. In the wilderness, he nourished you with manna and gave you quail, and he gave you water to drink out of a rock. He gave unto you a lore, and all these things he did for you. Pilate continued, his voice rising in frustration. Yet you provoked your God to anger and fashioned a molten calf, angering your God, and he sought to slay you. Moses made supplication for you, and you were not put to death. And now you accuse me of hating the emperor? Pilate, visibly disturbed, rose from the judgment seat and attempted to leave. But the Jews, relentless in their pursuit, cried out, We know our king, even Caesar, and not Jesus. For indeed the wise men brought gifts from the east unto him as unto a king, and when Herod heard from the wise men that a king was born, he sought to slay him. And when his father Joseph knew that, he took him and his mother, and they fled into Egypt. And when Herod heard it, he destroyed the children of the Hebrews that were born in Bethlehem. Pilate, upon hearing these words, was deeply afraid. He silenced the multitude, who continued to cry out, and asked, So then, this is he whom Herod sought? The Jews affirmed, Yea, this is he. Pilate, seeking to distance himself from the impending judgment, took water and washed his hands before the crowd, declaring, I am innocent of the blood of this just man. See ye to it. Again, the Jews cried out, His blood be upon us and upon our children. Then Pilate, succumbing to their demands, commanded the veil to be drawn before the judgment seat whereon he sat. Addressing Jesus, he pronounced, Thy nation hath convicted thee as being a king. Therefore, I have decreed that thou should first be scourged according to the law of the pious emperors, and thereafter hanged upon the cross in the garden wherein thou was taken. And let Dismas and G, the two malefactors, be crucified with thee. Thus concluded chapter 10. And so Jesus was led forth from the judgment hall, along with the two malefactors. When they arrived at the designated place, they stripped him of his garments and girded him with a linen cloth. A crown of thorns was placed upon his head, mocking his claim to kingship. Likewise, the two malefactors were hanged up beside him. But Jesus, even in his agony, uttered words of forgiveness. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The soldiers, callous in their duty, divided his garments among themselves, casting lots for who would receive what. The people stood looking upon him, some with curiosity, others with disdain. The chief priests and the rulers, reveling in their triumph, derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he be the Son of God. Let him come down from the cross." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him vinegar mixed with gall, saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." Pilate, despite his earlier misgivings, had an inscription written and affixed to the cross, a title in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, proclaiming, according to the saying of the Jews, that he was the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors who was hanged, named Drusus, joined in the mockery, saying, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But Dismas, the other malefactor, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not at all fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Turning to Jesus, he pleaded, "Remember me, Lord, in thy kingdom." And Jesus, in his boundless compassion, said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee that today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Thus concludes chapter 11. It was about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the land, lasting until the ninth hour, for the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in two, a thunderous sound echoing through the air. Jesus, summoning the last of his strength, called out with a loud voice, "Father, Barakhu," which is interpreted, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. When the centurion saw what was done, the darkness, the earthquake, the rending of the veil, he glorified God, saying, "This man was righteous." And all the multitudes that had come to the sight, when they beheld what was done, smote their breasts and returned, filled with a mixture of grief, fear, and awe. But the centurion, bound by duty, reported unto the governor the things that had come to pass. And when the governor and his wife heard, they were sore vexed and neither ate nor drank that day, their consciences deeply troubled. Pilate, seeking to understand the events, sent for the Jews and inquired, "Did ye see that which came to pass?" But they, unwilling to acknowledge the divine nature of the events, said, "There was an eclipse of the sun, after the accustomed sort." His acquaintance had stood afar off, and the women which came with him from Galilee, beholding these things, watched with heavy hearts. But a certain man named Joseph, being a counselor of the city of Arimathea, who also himself looked for the kingdom of God, this man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in a hune siler, wherein was never man yet laid. Thus ends chapter 12. Now, when the Jews heard that Joseph had begged the body of Jesus, they sought for him and for the 12 men who said that Jesus was not born of fornication, and for Nicodemus and many others who had come forth before Pilate and declared his good works. But all of them hid themselves, fearing the wrath of the Jewish leaders. Nicodemus alone was seen of them, for he was a ruler of the Jews and held a position of influence. Nicodemus, confronted by his fellow Jews, was challenged, "How came ye into the synagogue?" The Jews, suspicious of his motives, questioned him further, "How did thou come into the synagogue? For thou art confederate with him, and his portion shall be with thee in the life to come." Nicodemus, unwavering in his faith, responded, "Amen, amen." Likewise, Joseph also came forth and challenged them, saying, "Why is it that you're vexed against me for that I beg the body of Jesus? Behold, I have laid it in my new tomb, having wrapped it in clean linen, and I rolled a stone over the door of the cave. Ye have not dealt well with the just one, for ye repented not when ye had crucified him, but ye also pierced him with a spear." But the Jews, hardened in their hearts, took hold on Joseph and commanded him to be put in safeguard until the first day of the week. They said unto him, "Know thou that the time alloweth us not to do anything against thee because the Sabbath doth. But know that thou shalt not obtain burial, but we will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the heaven." Joseph, undeterred by their threats, responded, "This is the word of Goliath, the boastful, which representing approach the living God and the holy David. For God said by the prophet, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will recompense, saith the Lord.' And now lo, one that was uncircumcised but circumcised in heart, took water and washed his hands before the sun, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Joseph continued, reminding them of their own words. And ye answered Pilate and said, His blood be upon us and upon our children. And now I fear lest the wrath of the Lord come upon you and upon your children, as ye have said. But when the Jews heard these words, they waxed bitter and saw and caught hold on Joseph and took him and shut him up in an house wherein was no window, and guards were set at the door. They sealed the door of the place where Joseph was shut up. Upon the Sabbath day, the rulers of the synagogue and the priests and the Levites made an ordinance that all men should appear in the synagogue on the first day of the week. All the multitude rose up early and took counsel in the synagogue by what death they should kill him. When the council was set, they commanded him to be brought with great dishonor. When they had opened the door, they found him not. All the people were beside themselves and amazed because they found the seals closed, and Caiaphas had the key. They did not any more lay hands upon them that had spoken in the behalf of Jesus before Pilate. Thus concludes chapter 13. While they yet sat in the synagogue and marveled because of Joseph, there came certain of the guard which the Jews had asked of Pilate to keep the sepulchre of Jesus, lest peradventure his disciples should come and steal him away. They spake and declared unto the rulers of the synagogue and the priests and the Levites that which had come to pass, how there was a great earthquake, and we saw an angel descend from heaven, and he rolled away the stone from the mouth of the cave and sat upon it. He did shine like snow and like lightning, and we were sore afraid and lay as dead men. We heard the voice of the angel speaking with the women which waited at the seer, saying, Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and say unto his disciples that he's risen from the dead and is in Galilee. The Jews, skeptical, inquired, With what women spake he? They, if the God say, we know not who they were. The Jews, pressing further, asked, At what hour was it? The God say, at midnight. The Jews, their suspicions growing, demanded, And wherefore did ye not take the women? They of the gods say we were become as dead men through fear, and we look not to see the light of the day. How then could we take them? The Jews, unwavering in their disbelief, declared, As the Lord liveth, we believe you not. There the God say unto the Jews, So many signs saw ye in that man, and ye believe not. How then should ye believe us? Verily ye swear rightly, as the Lord liveth, for he liveth indeed. Again there of the God say, We have heard that he shut up him that begged the body of Jesus, and that he sealed the door, and when he had opened it, he found him not. Give ye therefore Joseph, and we will give you Jesus. The Jews, attempting to deflect, responded, Joseph is departed into his own city. They the God say unto the Jews, Jesus also is risen, as we have heard of the angel, and he is in Galilee. When the Jews heard these words, they were sore afraid, saying, Take heed lest this report be heard, and all men incline unto Jesus. The Jews took counsel and laid down much money and gave it to the soldier, saying, Say ye, while we slept his disciples came by night and stole him away. If this come to the governor's hearing, we will persuade him and secure you. They took the money and did as they were instructed. This their saying was published abroad among all men. Thus concludes chapter 14. Now a certain priest named Phine and Addas, a teacher, and Agus, a Levite, came down from Galilee unto Jerusalem and told the rulers of the synagogue and the priests and the Levites, saying, We saw Jesus and his disciples sitting upon the mountain which is called Mamk, and he said unto his disciples, Go into all the world and preach unto every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieve shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow upon them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And while Jesus yet spake unto his disciples, we saw him taken up into heaven. The elders and the priests and Levites say, Give glory to the God of Israel, and make confession unto him. Did ye indeed hear and see those things which ye have told us? They that told them said, As the Lord God of our fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob liveth, we did hear these things, and we saw him taken up into heaven. The elders and the priests and the Levites say unto them, Came ye for this end, that ye might tell us, or came ye to pay your vows unto God? They say, To pay our vows unto God. The elders and the chief priests and the Levites say unto them, If ye came to pay your vows unto God, to what purpose is this idle tale which ye have babbled before all the people? Fine is the priest and Addas the teacher and Agus the Levite say unto the rulers of the synagogue and priests and Levites, If these words which we have spoken and seen be sin, lo, we are before you, do unto us as seeth good in your eyes. They took the book of the law and adjured them that they should no more tell any man these words. They gave them to eat and to drink and put them out of the city. Moreover, they gave them money and 3 men to go with them, and they set them on their way as far as Galilee, and they departed in peace. Now when these men were departed into Galilee, the chief priests and the rulers of the synagogue and the elders gathered together in the synagogue and shut the gate and lamented with a great lamentation, saying, What is this sign which has come to pass in Israel? But Ani son Kappas said, Wherefore are ye troubled? Why weep ye? Know ye not that his disciples gave much gold unto them that kept the sealer, and taught them to say that an angel came down and rolled away the stone from the door of the sealer? But the priests and the elders said, Be it so that his disciples did steal away his body, but how is his soul entered into his body, and how abideth he in Galilee? But they could not answer these things, and hardly in the end said, It is not lawful for us to believe the uncircumcised. Ought we to believe the soldiers that an angel came down from heaven and rolled away the stone from the door of the sealer? Know ye not that it is not lawful for Jews to believe any word of the uncircumcised, knowing that they who received much good from us have spoken according as we taught them? Thus concludes chapter 15. And Nicodemus rose up and stood before the council, saying, Ye say well, know ye not, O people of the Lord, the men that came down out of Galilee, that they fear God, and are men of substance, hating covetousness, men of peace, and they've told you with an oath, saying, We saw Jesus upon the Mount Mamal with his disciples, and that he taught them all things that he heard of them, and say they, We saw him taken up into heaven, and no man asked them in what manner he was taken up, for like as the book of the Holy Scriptures hath taught us that Elias also was taken up into heaven, and Eligius cried out with a loud voice, and Elias cast his hairy cloak upon Eligius, and Eligius cast the cloak upon Jordan, and passed over, and went unto Jericho, and the sons of the prophets met him, and said, Eligius, where is thy lord Elias? And he said that he was taken up into heaven, and they said unto Eligius, Hath not a spirit caught him up and cast him upon one of the mountains? But let us take our servants with us, and seek after him. And they persuaded Eligius, and he went with them, and they sought him 3 days, and found him not, and they knew that he had been taken up. And now hearken unto me, and let us send unto all the coasts of Israel, and see whether the Christ were not taken up by a spirit, and cast upon one of the mountains. This saying pleased them all, and they sent into all the coasts, and sought Jesus, and found him not. But they found Joseph in Arimathea, and no man durst lay hands upon him. They told the elders and the priests and the Levites, saying, We went about throughout all the coasts of Israel, and we found not Jesus, but Joseph we found in Arimathea. When they heard of Joseph, they rejoiced and gave glory to the God of Israel. The rulers of the synagogue and the priests and the Levites took counsel how they should meet with Joseph. They took a volume of paper and wrote unto Joseph these words, Peace be unto thee, we know that we have sinned against God and against thee, and we have prayed unto the God of Israel that thou should it vouchsafe to come unto thy fathers and unto thy children, for we are all troubled, because when we opened the door we found thee not, and we know that we devised an evil counsel against thee, but the Lord helped thee, and the Lord himself made of none effect our counsel against thee, O father Joseph, thou that art honorable among all the people. They chose out of all Israel 7 men that were friends of Joseph, whom Joseph also himself accounted his friends. The rulers of the synagogue and the priests and the Levites said unto them, See if he receive our epistle, and read it, know that he will come with you unto us, but if he read it not, know that he is vexed with us, and salute him in peace and return unto us. They blessed the men and let them go. The man came unto Joseph and did him reverence, and said unto him, Peace be unto thee. He said, Peace be unto you and unto all the people of Israel. They gave him the book of the epistle, and Joseph received it, and read it, and kissed the epistle, and blessed God, and said, Blessed be the Lord God which hath redeemed Israel from shedding innocent blood, and blessed be the Lord which sent his angel and sheltered me under his wings. He kissed them and set a table before them, and they did eat and drink and lay there. They rose up early and prayed, and Joseph saddled his sheaves and went with the men. They came unto the holy city, even Jerusalem, and all the people came to meet Joseph and cried, Peace be to thine entering in. He said unto all the people, Peace be unto you, and all the people kissed him. The people prayed with Joseph, and they were astonished at the sight of him. Nicodemus received them into his house and made a great feast, and called Annas and Caiaphas and the elders and the priests and the Levites unto his house. They made merry eating and drinking with Joseph, And when they'd sung an hymn, every man went unto his house. But Joseph abode in the house of Nicodemus. On the morrow, which was the preparation, the rulers of the synagogue and the priests and the Levites rose up early and came to the house of Nicodemus. Nicodemus met them and said, Peace be unto you. They said, Peace be unto thee and to Joseph and unto all thy house and to all the house of Joseph. He brought them into his house, and the whole council was set, and Joseph sat between Annas and Caiaphas, and no man dare speak unto him a word, and Joseph inquired, Why have you summoned me? They gestured towards Nicodemus, indicating that he should address Joseph. Nicodemus began, Father Joseph, you are aware that the esteemed doctors of the law, the priests, and the Levites are seeking answers from you. Joseph responded, Ask your questions. Annas and Caiaphas then retrieved the book of the law and, placing Joseph under oath, implored, Give glory to the God of Israel and confess before him. For when Joshua, the prophet, placed Achan under oath, he did not conceal anything but revealed all, withholding not a single word. Therefore, do not hide anything from us, not even a fraction of the truth. Joseph avowed, I will not conceal a single word. They pressed on. We were deeply disturbed that you requested the body of Jesus, wrapped it in a pristine linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb. Consequently, we placed you under guard in a windowless house, securing the doors with keys and seals. Guards were stationed to watch over you. Yet, on the first day of the week, when we opened the house, you were gone, leaving us in profound distress. Amazement gripped all the Lord's people until yesterday. Therefore, tell us what happened. Joseph recounted, On the day of preparation, around the 10th hour, you imprisoned me. I remained there throughout the Sabbath. At midnight, as I stood praying, the house was lifted up by its four corners. I witnessed a flash of light, and overwhelmed by fear, I fell to the ground. A hand took hold of me and lifted me from where I had fallen. Moisture, like water, was poured over me from head to foot, and the fragrance of ointment filled my nostrils. He wiped my face, kissed me, and said, Fear not, Joseph. Open your eyes and see who speaks with you. I looked up and saw Jesus, and I trembled, believing it was a spirit. I recited the commandments, and he recited them with me. You all know that a spirit flees if it encounters a man and hears the commandments. Realizing that he recited them with me, I said, Rabbi Elias? He replied, I am not Elias. I then asked, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whose body you begged from Pilate, clothed in clean linen, covered with a napkin, and laid in your new cave, rolling a great stone across its entrance. I implored him to show me the place where I had laid him. He led me and showed me the spot, and the linen cloth was there, along with the napkin that had covered his face. I knew then that it was Jesus. He took my hand and placed me in the midst of my house, the doors remaining shut, and laid me upon my bed. He said, Peace be unto thee, and kissed me, saying, Do not leave your house until 40 days have passed, for I go unto my brethren. This is recorded in Galilee, chapter 16. Upon hearing Joseph's words, the rulers of the synagogue, the priests, and the Levites collapsed to the ground, as if lifeless. They fasted until the 9th hour. Nicodemus, along with Joseph, comforted Annas, Caiaphas, the priests and the Levites, urging, Rise, stand on your feet, partake in bread, and strengthen your souls, for tomorrow is the Sabbath of the Lord. They arose, prayed to God, ate, drank, and returned to their homes. On the Sabbath, the teachers, priests, and Levites convened, questioning one another. What is this wrath that has befallen us? We know his father and his mother. Levi, the teacher, declared, I know that his parents feared God, fulfilled their vows, and paid tithes 3 times a year. When Jesus was born, his parents brought him to this place, offering sacrifices and burnt offerings to God. The great teacher Simeon held him in his arms and said, Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon blessed them and told Mary, his mother, I bring you good tidings concerning this child. Mary responded, "Good, my lord." Simeon continued, "Behold, he is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against. A sword will pierce through your own heart also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." They questioned Levi, "How do you know these things?" Levi replied, "Do you not know that I learned the law from him?" The council then requested, "We wish to see your father." They summoned his father and questioned him, and he responded, "Why do you not believe my son, the blessed and righteous Simeon? He taught him the law." The council inquired, "Rabbi Levi, is your word true?" He confirmed, "It is true." The rulers of the synagogue, the priests, and the Levites deliberated among themselves, "Let us send to Galilee to the three men who told us of his teaching and his ascension. Let them recount how they witnessed his being taken up." This proposal pleased them all, and they dispatched the three men who had journeyed with them to Galilee, instructing them, "Convey our greetings to Rabbi Addis, Rabbi Fine, and Rabbi Agus. May peace be with you and all who are with you. A significant inquiry has arisen in the council, and we summon you to this holy place of Jerusalem." The men traveled to Galilee and found them seated, meditating upon the law. They greeted them in peace, and the men of Galilee responded, "Peace be upon all Israel." They reiterated, "Peace be with you again." They inquired, "Why have you come?" The messengers replied, "The council summons you to the holy city of Jerusalem." Upon hearing that they were summoned by the council, the men prayed to God, sat down to share a meal, and then journeyed in peace to Jerusalem. The next day, the council assembled in the synagogue and interrogated them. "Did you truly witness Jesus sitting upon the Mount Mamal as he taught his 11 disciples? And did you see him taken up?" The men affirmed, "As we saw him taken up, so we have related to you." Anna suggested, "Separate them from one another to see if their accounts align." They separated them, and Addis was called first. They asked, "How did you see Jesus taken up?" Addis recounted, "While he still sat upon the Mount Mamal, teaching his disciples, we saw a cloud overshadow him and his disciples. The cloud carried them up into heaven, and his disciples lay prostrate upon the earth." They then summoned Fine, the priest, and questioned him similarly, asking how he saw Jesus taken up. He narrated the event in like manner. Again, they questioned Agus, and he, too, recounted the scene in the same way. The council observed, "It is contained in the law of Moses that every word shall be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses." Abam, the teacher, stated, "It is written in the law that Enoch walked with God and was no more, because God took him." Jeruz, another teacher, added, "We have also heard of the death of the holy Moses, yet we have not seen him, for it is written in the law of the Lord, so Moses the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Bethpeor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day." Rabbi Levi then posed, "Why did Rabbi Simeon say upon seeing Jesus, 'Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against'?" Rabbi Isaac responded, "It is written in the law, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way before you, to keep you in every good way, for my name is in him.'" Annas and Caiaphas then declared, "You have spoken well, citing the law of Moses, that no man witnessed the death of Enoch and no man knows the burial place of Moses. But Jesus spoke before Pilate, and we know that we saw him receive blows and spitting upon his face. The soldiers placed a crown of thorns upon him, and he was scourged and condemned by Pilate. He was crucified at the place of the skull, with two thieves beside him. They gave him vinegar to drink, mixed with gall. Longinus, the soldier, pierced his side with a spear. Joseph, our honorable father, begged for his body. As he claims, he rose again, and as the three teachers testify, we saw him taken up into heaven." Rabbi Levi testified to the words spoken by Rabbi Simeon, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against." All the teachers addressed the people, "If this has come to pass from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes, you shall surely know, O house of Jacob, that it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" And another scripture teaches, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish. The priests and the Levites conferred, if his memory endures until the Samos, which is called Jobel, know that he will prevail forever and raise up for himself a new people. The rulers of the synagogue, the priests and the Levites admonished all of Israel. Cursed is the man who worships that which man's hand has made, and cursed is the man who worships creatures besides the Creator. All the people responded, Amen, Amen. They sang a hymn to the Lord, saying, Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest unto the people of Israel, according to all that he spoke. Not one word has failed of all his good promises which he spoke through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not forsake us nor cast us away. Let him turn our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his statutes and his commandments which he commanded our fathers. The Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. There shall be one Lord, and his name one. Even the Lord our King, he shall save us. There is none like unto you, O Lord. Great are you, O Lord, and great is your name. Heal us, O Lord, by your power, and we shall be healed. Save us, Lord, and we shall be saved. For we are your portion and your inheritance. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, for the Lord has begun to make us to be his people. After they had sung this hymn, they returned to their homes, glorifying God. For his is the glory world without end. Amen. Part 2. The Descent into Hell, Chapter 17. Joseph arose and addressed Annas and Caiaphas. Truly you marvel, and rightly so, because you have heard that Jesus has been seen alive after death and that he has ascended into heaven. Nevertheless, it is even more marvelous that he did not rise alone but raised many other dead from their sepulchres, and they have been seen by many in Jerusalem. Hearken unto me, for we all know the blessed Simeon, the high priest, who received the child Jesus in his arms in the temple. Simeon had two sons, brothers in blood, and we were all present at their falling asleep and at their burial. Go, therefore, and look upon their sepulchres, for they are open because they have risen. Behold, they are in the city of Arima, dwelling together in prayer. Indeed, men hear them crying out, yet they speak with no man but are silent as the dead. Let us go to them with all honor and gentleness and bring them to us. If we adjure them, perhaps they will reveal to us the mystery of their rising again. Upon hearing this, they all rejoiced. Annas, Caiaphas, Nicodemus, Joseph, and Gamaliel went and found that the two brothers were indeed not in their sepulchres. They proceeded to the city of Arima and found them kneeling, immersed in prayer. They greeted them with kisses and, with reverence and fear of God, brought them to Jerusalem into the synagogue. They shut the doors, placed the law of the Lord into their hands, and adjured them by the God Adonai and the God of Israel, who spoke to their fathers by the prophets, saying, Believe you that it is Jesus who raised you from the dead? Tell us how you have risen from the dead. Upon hearing this adjuration, Caiaphas and Lucius trembled in their bodies and groaned, troubled in heart. Looking up together to heaven, they made the sign of the cross with their fingers upon their tongues, and immediately they both spoke. Give us each a volume of paper, and let us write what we have seen and heard. They were given paper, and each sat down and began to write, saying, Chapter 18. O Lord Jesus Christ, the life and resurrection of the dead, allow us to speak of the mysteries of your majesty, which you performed after your death upon the cross, since we have been adjured by your name. For you commanded us, your servants, to tell no man the secrets of your divine majesty, which you wrought in hell. Now, when we were set together with all our fathers in the deep, in the obscurity of darkness, suddenly, there came a golden heat of the sun and a purple and royal light shining upon us. Immediately, the father of the whole race of men, along with all the patriarchs and prophets, rejoiced, saying, This light is the beginning of everlasting light, which he did promise to send unto us, his co-eternal light. Elias cried out, This is the light of the Father, even the Son of God, according as I prophesied when I lived upon the earth. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. And now it has come and shines upon us who sit in death. As they rejoiced in the light, their father Simeon approached them and said, Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for I received him in my hands in the temple when he was born a child, and being moved by the Holy Ghost, I made confession and said unto him, Now have mine eyes seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be a glory of your people Israel. Hearing this, the whole multitude of saints rejoiced even more. Then one resembling a dweller in the wilderness approached, and when asked who he was, he replied, I am John, the voice and the prophet of the Most High, who came before the face of his advent to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people for the remission of their sins. When I saw him coming unto me, being moved by the Holy Ghost, I said, Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. I baptized him in the river of Jordan and saw the Holy Ghost descending upon him in the likeness of a dove. And I heard a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now I have come before his face and come down to declare unto you that he is at hand to visit us, even the dayspring, the Son of God, coming from on high unto us who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Chapter 19. When Father Adam, who was first created, heard that Jesus was baptized in Jordan, he cried out to Seth, his son, saying, Declare unto your son, the patriarchs and the prophets, all that you did hear from Michael the archangel when I sent you unto the gates of paradise, that you might entreat God to send his angel to give you the oil of the tree of mercy to anoint my body when I was sick. Seth drew near unto the holy patriarchs and prophets and said, When I, Seth, was praying at the gates of paradise, behold, Michael, the angel of the Lord, appeared unto me, saying, I am sent unto thee from the Lord. It is I who am set over the body of man, and I say unto thee, Seth, vex not yourself with tears, praying and entreating for the oil of the tree of mercy that you may anoint your father Adam for the pain of his body. For you will not be able to receive it save in the last days and times, save when 5,500 years are accomplished. Then shall the most beloved Son of God come upon the earth to raise up the body of Adam and the bodies of the dead. And he shall come and be baptized in Jordan. When he has come forth of the water of Jordan, then shall he anoint with the oil of mercy all who believe on him. And that oil of mercy shall be unto all generations of them that shall be born of water and of the Holy Ghost unto life eternal. Then shall the most beloved Son of God, even Christ Jesus, come down upon the earth and shall bring our father Adam into paradise, unto the tree of mercy. When they heard all these things of Seth, all the patriarchs and prophets rejoiced with great rejoicing. Chapter 20. While all the saints were rejoicing, behold, Satan, the prince and chief of death, said unto hell, Make yourself ready to receive Jesus, who boasts that he is the Son of God, whereas he is a man who fears death and says, My soul is sorrowful, even unto death. He has been much my enemy, doing me great hurt, and many that I had made blind, lame, dumb, leprous, and possessed, he has healed with a word. Some whom I have brought unto you dead, he has taken away from you. Hell answered and said unto Satan the prince, Who is he that is so mighty, if he be a man who fears death? For all the mighty ones of earth, even those subdued by your power, are held in subjugation by mine. If you are so mighty, then what manner of being is this Jesus? Though facing death, he resists your dominion. Should his mortal form possess such strength, then I say to you, he is indeed almighty in his divine nature. No force can withstand his power. When he speaks of fearing death, he seeks only to ensnare you, and woe without end shall be upon you. But Satan, the prince of Tartarus, countered, Why do you waver and fear to receive this Jesus, who is both your adversary and mine? I tempted him, incited my ancient people, the Jews, to envy and rage against him. I sharpened the spear to pierce him, mingled gall and vinegar to quench his thirst. I prepared the cross for his crucifixion and the nails to bind him. His death is imminent, that I might bring him to you to be subject to you and me. Hell responded, You tell me it is he who has taken the dead from my grasp. Many, in their earthly lives, have drawn souls from me, yet not by their own power, but through prayer to God. their Almighty God has reclaimed them. Who is this Jesus who, by his mere word, without supplication, has drawn the dead from me? Could this be he who, with a simple command, restored Lazarus to life, who lay 4 days dead, decaying and stinking, whom I held firmly in my grasp? Satan, the prince of death, confirmed, "It is he, that same Jesus." Hearing this, hell declared, "I implore you, by your strength and mine, bring him not unto me. For when I heard the command of his word, I quaked and was overcome with terror, and all my legions with me were stricken. We could not hold Lazarus. Like an eagle, he shook himself free and leaped forth with agility and speed, departing from us. The earth itself, which held Lazarus' lifeless body, yielded him up alive. Now I know this being who could perform such acts is a God, strong in command and mighty in his humanity, the Savior of mankind. If you bring him to me, he will liberate all who are imprisoned here, bound by the unbreakable chains of their sins, and lead them into the life of his divine glory forever." Chapter 21. As Satan the prince and hell spoke, a voice like thunder erupted, a spiritual cry. "Remove, O princes, your gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Hearing this, hell commanded Satan the prince, "Depart from me, leave my abode. If you are a mighty warrior, then fight against the King of glory yourself. What have you to do with him?" And hell cast Satan forth from his dwelling. Then hell spoke to his wicked ministers, "Shut fast the heavy gates of brass, bar them with iron, resist with all your strength, lest we who hold captive be taken captive ourselves." But the multitude of saints, hearing this, rebuked hell with a unified voice. "Open your gates, that the King of glory may enter," David cried out. "Did I not, when alive upon the earth, foretell? Let them give thanks unto the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. He has taken them out of the way of their iniquity." Likewise, Isaiah proclaimed, "Did I not, when alive upon the earth, foretell? Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead." And again, "O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory?" Hearing Isaiah's words, all the saints cried out to hell, "Open your gates, now you shall be overcome, weak and without strength." A great voice, like thunder, resounded, "Remove, O princes, your gates, lift up, you doors of hell, and the King of glory shall come in." Seeing their unified cry, hell, as if feigning ignorance, asked twice, "Who is this King of glory?" David answered hell, "I know the words of this cry, for by his spirit I prophesied the same. And now I say unto you that which I said before, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, he is the King of glory. The Lord looked down from heaven to hear the groaning of those in fetters, to deliver the children of those who have been slain. Now, O you most foul and stinking hell, open your gates, that the King of glory may enter." As David spoke these words to hell, the Lord of Majesty appeared in the form of a man, illuminating the eternal darkness and breaking the unbreakable bonds. The succor of his everlasting power visited us, those who sat in the deep darkness of our transgressions and in the shadow of the death of our sins. Chapter 22. When hell and death and their wicked ministers beheld this, they were stricken with fear, they and their cruel officers, at the sight of the brightness of so great a light in their own realm, seeing Christ suddenly in their abode. They cried out, "We are overcome by you. Who are you sent by the Lord for our ruin? Who are you that, without any taint of corruption and with the signs of your majesty undiminished, condemns our power in wrath? Who are you, so great and so small, both humble and exalted, both soldier and commander, a marvelous warrior in the shape of a bondsman and a king of glory, dead and living? You who lay dead in the sepulchre have come down unto us living. At your death, all creation quaked, and all the stars were shaken. You have become free among the dead and do rout our legions. Who are you that sets free the prisoners held bound by original sin and restores them to their former liberty? Who are you that sheds your divine and bright light upon those blinded by the darkness of their sins? In the same manner, all the legions of devils were stricken with similar fear and cried out together in the terror of their confusion. Whence are you, Jesus? A man so mighty and bright in majesty, so excellent, without spot, and clean from sin, for that world of earth, which has always been subject unto us until now and did pay tribute to our dominion, has never sent unto us a dead man like you, nor ever dispatched such a gift into hell. Who then are you that so fearlessly enters our borders, and not only fears not our torments, but besides assails us to bear away all men out of our bonds? Perhaps you are that Jesus of whom Satan our prince said that by your death of the cross you should receive the dominion of the whole world. Then the King of Glory, in his majesty, trampled upon death and laid hold of Satan the prince and delivered him unto the power of hell and drew Adam to him unto his own brightness. Chapter 23. Then hell, receiving Satan the prince with sore reproach, said unto him, O prince of perdition and chief of destruction, Beelzebub, the scorn of the angels and spitting of the righteous, why would you do this? You would crucify the King of Glory, and at his decease did promise us great spoils of his death. Like a fool, you knew not what you did. For behold, now this Jesus puts to flight by the brightness of his majesty all the darkness of death, and has broken the strong depths of the prisons and let out the prisoners and loosed them that were bound. All that were sighing in our torments do rejoice against us, and at their prayers, our dominions are vanquished and our realms conquered. Now no nation of men fears us anymore. Besides this, the dead, which were never wont to be proud, triumph over us, and the captives, which never could be joyful, do threaten us. O Prince Satan, father of all the wicked and ungodly and renegades, wherefore would you do this? They that from the beginning until now have despaired of life and salvation, now is none of their wonted roarings heard, neither do any groans from them sound in our ears, nor is there any sign of tears upon the face of any of them. O Prince Satan, holder of the keys of hell, those thy riches which you have gained by the tree of transgression and the losing of paradise, you have lost by the tree of the cross, and all thy gladness has perished. When you did hang up Christ Jesus, the King of Glory, you raged against yourself and against me. Henceforth, you shall know what eternal torments and infinite pains you are to suffer in my keeping forever. O Prince Satan, author of death and head of all pride, you ought first to have sought out matter of evil in this Jesus. Wherefore did you venture without cause to crucify him unjustly, against whom you found us no blame, and to bring into our realm the innocent and righteous one, and to lose the guilty and the ungodly and unrighteous of the whole world? When hell had spoken thus unto Satan the prince, then said the King of Glory unto hell, Satan the prince shall be in your power unto all ages in the stead of Adam and his children, even those that are my righteous ones. Chapter 24. The Lord, stretching forth his hand, said, Come unto me, all you my saints, which bear mine image and my likeness, you that by the tree and the devil and death were condemned. Behold now the devil and death condemned by the tree. Forthwith all the saints were gathered in one under the hand of the Lord. The Lord, holding the right hand of Adam, said unto him, Peace be unto you with all your children that are my righteous ones. Adam, casting himself at the knees of the Lord, entreated him with tears and beseeching and said with a loud voice, I will magnify you, O Lord, for you have set me up and not made my foes to triumph over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto you, and you have healed me. Lord, you have brought my soul out of hell. You have delivered me from them that go down to the pit. Sing praises unto the Lord, all these saints of his, and give thanks unto him for the remembrance of his holiness. For there is wrath in his indignation, and life is in his good pleasure. In like manner, all the saints of God kneeled and cast themselves at the feet of the Lord, saying with one accord, You have come, O Redeemer of the world, that which you did foretell by the law and by the prophets, that have you accomplished indeed. You have redeemed the living by your cross, and by the death of the cross, you have come down unto us that you might save us out of hell and death through your majesty. O Lord, like as you have set the name of your glory in the heavens and set up your cross for a token of redemption upon the earth, so Lord set you up the sign of the victory of your cross in hell, that death may have no more dominion. The Lord stretched forth his hand and made the sign of the cross over Adam and over all his saints. He took the right hand of Adam and went up out of hell, and all the saints followed him. Then did holy David cry aloud and say, Sing unto the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand has wrought salvation for him, and his holy arm. The Lord has made known his saving health before the face of all nations. He has revealed his righteousness. The whole multitude of the saints answered, Such honor have all his saints. Amen. Alleluia. Thereafter, Habakkuk the prophet cried out and said, You wentest forth for the salvation of your people, to set free your chosen. All the saints answered, Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has shown us light. Amen. Alleluia. Likewise, after that, the prophet Micah also cried, saying, What God is like you, O Lord, taking away iniquity and removing sins? Now you withhold your wrath for a testimony that you are merciful of free will, and you do turn away and have mercy on us. You forget all our iniquities and have sunk all our sins in the depths of the sea, as you swore unto our fathers in the days of old. All the saints answered, This is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide world without end. Amen. Alleluia. So spoke all the prophets, making mention of holy words out of their praises. And all the saints followed the Lord, crying, Amen. Alleluia. Chapter 25. The Lord, holding the hand of Adam, delivered him unto Michael the archangel, and all the saints followed Michael the archangel. He brought them all into the glory and beauty of paradise, where they met with two men, Ancients of Days. When they were asked of the saints, Who are you, that you have not yet been dead in hell with us and are set in paradise in the body? One of them answering said, I am Enoch, which was translated hither by the word of the Lord. This that is with me is Elijah the Tishbite, which was taken up in the chariot of fire. Up to this day we have not tasted death, but we are reserved unto the coming of Antichrist, to fight against him with signs and wonders of God and to be slain of him in Jerusalem. And after 3 days and a half to be taken up again alive on the clouds. Chapter 26. As Enoch and Elijah spoke thus with the saints, behold, there came another man of vile habit, bearing upon his shoulders the sign of the cross. When they beheld him, all the saints said unto him, Who are you? For thine appearance is as of a robber, and wherefore is it that you bear a sign upon your shoulders? He answered them and said, You have rightly said, For I was a robber, doing all manner of evil upon the earth. The Jews crucified me with Jesus, and I beheld the wonders in the creation which came to pass through the cross of Jesus when he was crucified. I believed that he was the maker of all creatures and the Almighty King, and I besought him, saying, Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. Forthwith, he received my prayer and said unto me, Verily I say unto you this day, You shall be with me in paradise. He gave me the sign of the cross, saying, Bear this and go unto paradise, and if the angel that keeps paradise suffers you not to enter in, show him the sign of the cross, and you shall say unto him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who now is crucified, has sent me. When I had done so and spoke all these things unto the angel that kept paradise, when he heard this of me, forthwith he opened the door and brought me in and set me at the right hand of paradise, saying, Lo, now tarry a little, and Adam, the father of all mankind, will enter in with all his children that are holy and righteous after the triumph and glory of the ascending up of Christ the Lord that is crucified. When they heard all these words of the robber, all the holy patriarchs and prophets said with one voice, Blessed be the Lord Almighty, the Father of eternal good things, the Father of mercies, you that has given such grace unto your sinners and has brought them again into the beauty of paradise and into your good pastures. For this is the most holy life of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. Chapter 27. These are the divine and holy mysteries which we saw and heard, even I, Quirinus, and Lucius. But we were not suffered to relate further the rest of the mysteries of God according as Michael the archangel strictly charged us, saying, You shall go with your brethren unto Jerusalem and remain in prayer, crying out and glorifying the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has raised you from the dead together with him. You shall not be speaking with any man but sit as dumb men until the hour come when the Lord himself suffers you to declare the mysteries of his Godhead. But unto us, Michael the archangel gave commandment that we should go over Jordan unto a place rich and fertile where are many which rose again together with us for a testimony of the resurrection of Christ the Lord. For 3 days only were allowed unto us who rose from the dead to keep the Passover of the Lord in Jerusalem with our kindred that are living for a testimony of the resurrection of Christ the Lord. And we were baptized in the holy river of Jordan and received white robes, every one of us. After the 3 days, when we had kept the Passover of the Lord, all they were caught up in the clouds which had risen again with us and were taken over Jordan and were no more seen of any man. But unto us it was said that we should remain in the city of Arimathea and continue in prayer. These be all the things which the Lord bade us declare unto you. Give praise and thanksgiving to him and repent, that he may have mercy upon you. Peace be unto you from the same Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Savior of us all. Amen. When they had finished writing all things in the several volumes of paper, they arose, and Carinus gave that which he had written unto the hands of Annas and Caiaphas. Likewise, Lucius gave that which he had written into the hands of Nicodemus and Joseph, and suddenly they were transfigured and became white exceedingly and were no more seen. Their writings were found to be the same, neither more nor less by one letter. When all the synagogue of the Jews heard all these marvelous sayings of Carinus and Lucius, they said one to another, "Of a truth, these things were wrought by the Lord, and blessed be the Lord world without end. Amen." They went out all of them in great trouble of mind, smiting their breasts with fear and trembling, and departed every man unto his own home. All these things which were spoken by the Jews in their synagogue did Joseph and Nicodemus forthwith declare unto the governor. And Pilate himself wrote all the things that were done and said concerning Jesus by the Jews and laid up all the words in the public books of his judgment hall. Chapter 28. After these things, Pilate entered into the temple of the Jews and gathered together all the chief of the priests and the teachers and scribes and doctors of the law and went in with them unto the sacred heart of the temple. Now stood before them, its doors commanded shut, a silent audience to the gravity of the moment. "We have it on report," Pilate announced, his voice resonating in the hallowed space, "that within these walls resides a grand Bible. I request, nay, I demand, that it be brought forth for our inspection." And so it was, a magnificent Bible, its covers shimmering with gold and encrusted with precious jewels, was reverently carried forth by four ministers. Pilate, his gaze fixed upon the tome, addressed the assembly, "I implore you, by the God of your forefathers, the deity who instructed you to erect this very temple in this sacred place, conceal not the truth from me. You are learned men, privy to the scriptures contained within this Bible. Tell me now, have you discovered within those sacred pages that this Jesus, whom you have so recently crucified, is indeed the Son of God, the prophesied Savior destined to redeem humankind? And further, in what year, according to your calculations, was he destined to arrive? Confess to me, did you crucify him in ignorance, or with full knowledge of his divine nature?" Annas and Caiaphas, burdened by Pilate's solemn adjuration, commanded the rest of their company to depart, securing the temple's doors and the sanctuary's entrance, ensuring absolute privacy. Addressing Pilate, they spoke, "O excellent judge, you have invoked the sanctity of this temple's construction to compel us to reveal the truth and the underlying reason. After we had crucified Jesus, in our ignorance of his divine sonship, and believing that his wondrous deeds were merely the result of chance, we convened a grand assembly within this very temple. We conferred amongst ourselves, meticulously examining the signs and the miraculous works that Jesus had performed. We summoned witnesses from our own nation, individuals who swore they had seen Jesus alive after his crucifixion, testifying that he had ascended into the heavens above. Moreover," Caiaphas continued, "we presented two individuals whom Jesus had resurrected from the dead, who recounted to us astonishing tales of Jesus's actions among the deceased. These accounts we have preserved in written form, now held securely in our possession. It is our custom, each year before our assembly, to open this holy Bible, seeking divine guidance and testimony. And within the first book of the 70, we discovered how Michael the Archangel spoke to Seth, the third son of Adam, the progenitor of mankind, concerning the 5,500 years that would herald the arrival of the most beloved Son of God, even Christ. Furthermore, Anas added, we pondered whether this same Jesus was the God of Israel, who instructed Moses to construct the Ark of the Covenant, specifying its dimensions. 2.5 cubits in length, 1.5 cubits in breadth, and 1.5 cubits in height. For within those 5.5 cubits, we have discerned and understood the design of the Ark of the Old Covenant, symbolizing that in 5,500 years, Jesus Christ would manifest in the Ark of his body. We have concluded that he is indeed the God of Israel, the Son of God. For after his crucifixion, we, the chief priests, deeply perplexed by the signs and wonders that accompanied his death, opened the Bible and meticulously traced all the generations leading to Joseph and Mary, the mother of Christ, whom we acknowledged as a descendant of David. We discovered that from the day God created heaven and earth and formed the first man, until the great flood, there were 2,212 years. From the flood to the construction of the Tower of Babel, 531 years elapsed. From the building of the tower to the birth of Abraham, 66 years passed. From Abraham until the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt, 470 years transpired. From the exodus to the construction of the temple, 511 years unfolded. And from the building of the temple until its destruction, 464 years were counted. Thus far we found recorded within the Bible of Ezra. And inquiring from the burning of the temple until the coming of Christ and his birth, we determined it to be 636 years, which combined totaled 5,500 years, precisely as it was written in the Bible, that Michael the Archangel declared to Seth, Adam's third son, that after 5,500 years, Christ, the Son of God, would arrive. Caiaphas leaned forward, his voice dropping to a near whisper. These things we have kept secret, sharing them with no one, lest it cause a schism within our synagogues. And now, O excellent judge, you have adjured us by this holy Bible, the repository of God's testimonies, and we have revealed it unto you. We, in turn, adjure you by your own life and health, that you do not disclose these words to any soul in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, chapter 29. Pilate, upon hearing these words from Annas and Caiaphas, meticulously recorded them alongside the acts of the Lord and Savior in the official books of his judgment hall. He then penned a letter to Claudius, the emperor of Rome, stating, Pontius Pilate to Claudius, greetings. There has recently occurred a matter of such profound significance that I, myself, have undertaken a thorough investigation. The Jews, consumed by envy, have brought upon themselves and their prosperity a fearful judgment, born of their own misdeeds. For their forefathers were promised that their God would send from heaven his Holy One, who would rightfully be called their King, promising to send him to earth born of a virgin. He arrived during my governorship of Judea, and they witnessed him granting sight to the blind, cleansing lepers, raising the dead, commanding the winds, walking upon the waves of the sea without wetting his feet, and performing numerous other miracles. All the people of the Jews hailed him as the Son of God. The chief priests, driven by envy, apprehended him, delivered him unto me, and leveled against him a series of false accusations, claiming that he was a sorcerer and acted contrary to their law. I, believing these charges to be unsubstantiated, had him scourged and then delivered him unto their will, and they crucified him. When he was buried, they stationed guards upon his tomb. But while my soldiers kept watch, he rose again on the third day. Yet, so intense was the Jews' malice that they bribed the soldiers, instructing them to spread the lie that his disciples had stolen away his body. But the soldiers, though they accepted the money, could not remain silent concerning that which had transpired, for they, too, testified that they had seen him risen and that they had received money from the Jews. These events I report to you for this reason, lest another should deceive you and cause you to wrongly believe the false tales spun by the Jews.